I mean, there's so many stories, Tash. I don't know exactly what all you want me to share on this, but
well, give us little Cole's notes of, I guess, start at your therapy
jail
practice. When, yeah, you know what? Jail. Yep. We are dealing with a felony.
I'm Natasha Zorick, 2-time founder and self-made millionaire. This podcast is home to female founders, creatives, and change makers. If you're aspiring to think bigger and earn bigger, then you're in the right place. Get ready to tune into some honest takes on this crazy journey we call entrepreneurship.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited for today. We have not only an amazing, amazing, amazing human being that I adore and love, Miss Ashley. She is actually a current client of mine, but she has so much to offer to the space, and I have been itching to get her onto the podcast, and I formally invited her because I was like, you know what? You have that wow factor. You have that difference. You have that industry disrupting to your business, to what you provide to the space. And I'm so excited to let Ashley introduce herself here because I could say all the kind words, but I want them to hear from you. So yeah, I'm going to give you the floor here, Ashley.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really, truly feel honored. And as we talked about before hitting record, like this is just a conversation that needs to be had, not just once, but over and over and over again. And so, yeah, I'm Ash. I am a therapeutic business mentor, which essentially means that I was a therapist first. And then I grew a bunch of really awesome businesses over the past 10 years and became sort of a strategist of business that infuses the therapeutic component to it, which I believe is a non-negotiable and essential in helping entrepreneurs to strengthen that emotional wellness, but also up-level their excellency and the way that they serve and the way that they humanize the way that they serve people so that we are leaving people better than we found them and not the other way around.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing here. Just what I see within you and that factor that's so different is Ash has a therapeutic background. And we've all seen in the online space, by the way, this episode is going to get a little spicy. So we're really going to dive into one, Ashley, just her story. You got to go into it.
You want the real juice.
you got to drop the bombs. Okay. Just a little tidbit. Come on. You got to get them hooked because I know I am, but we're basically going to be going into Ashley and her story and going into just how amazing it is to actually have a business mentor, one, see you, but also hold true, true space in such an informed and deeper level that has psychology backed behind it, therapeutic practices, because we know in this online space, especially in, what would you say, Ashley, like 2021, it was mindset, mindset, mindset.
Yes. I mean, it like an epidemic of everybody trying to be the mindset coach. And there's a little problem with that. We've talked about this. Like there is trauma that has been induced within people when we scratch a surface that we don't have the capacity to help somebody heal. It's one thing to help somebody gain awareness. It's a whole other thing to help them see something that can be really detrimental and then not give the love, the care, the nourishing, the human connection that's necessary to like move past it and be healed through it, you know? So yeah, that and just, I think social media in general can be a relatively dangerous place for ambitious people because it's really easy to get caught up in the shoulds and the coulds and what everybody's doing and the fast success. And I just see a lot of lack of emotional wellness from how we serve, but also how we feel on the day to day where we're essentially striving. Our entire life is about striving, which inevitably ends up creating what I call anxious achievers.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to get into especially emotional wellness, anxious achievers, because even so Ashley's on my mastermind right now, the 6-figure to 7-figure. And she was going over one of her programs that she's going to be launching, which she will be talking about shortly in the episode. And everyone's face lit up when she was talking about that anxious achiever and emotional wellness. So I'm so excited for you to pour into that. But yeah, and before we dive into your story, Ash, this episode's all about going into deep therapeutic practices within the online coaching space and then shedding light on some of the things that really, really need to change. So that's where the spice is going to come in. And we're going to be breaking down gaps that we both mutually see and share that we think need to change. And then, yeah, we're just going to let the conversation flow. So I'm going to let you tell your story. And, you know, I'm expecting to see some of those points.
I mean, there's so many stories, Tash. I don't know exactly what all you want me to share on this, but
Well, give us little Cole's notes of, I guess, start at your therapy
jail
practice. When, yeah. You know what? Jail. Yep. We are dealing with a felony.
I die. I can see you just like, foot, like you're like, I just want to hear this story again.
Please tell this story. People are like listening. They're like, what the fuck is this story you're talking about? Like, stop breadcrumbing us.
Right. Yes. So I would say pretty much anybody who becomes a therapist typically becomes a therapist because they have a shit ton of baggage to unpack and figure out. And I am no different than everybody else. I'm born to an alcoholic, drug addict father who was pretty abusive to my mother and just a little hard times in early childhood. And my mom did remarry and I have a beautiful, wonderful, amazing stepfather who's not even a stepfather. He is a dad. But I do have this history and a family with a lot of history, if you will. And so I went into therapy to learn more about that. And ultimately, I think I always had this desire to serve from a deeper space, to understand humans from a deeper space. I think that's just a part of who I am. And the story that Tash is referring to is that I ended up upon a lot of my own hard knock life. And I think the situations, which I will share, that I have experienced absolutely fed into how I serve and how I support people and just my ability to hold space for empathy. But yes, the backstory is that I have filed bankruptcy. My husband and I were sued in a lawsuit for a home that we owned. Gosh, this was like 8 years ago. And we ended up losing. And in losing that, it was this massive lawsuit that ended up putting us in a position where we had no choice but to file for bankruptcy. And that was one of my darkest, hardest times. I was dealing with actually three miscarriages that led to a pregnancy, which was my second son. I do have three children. So my second son, and after delivering him, I had postpartum depression. At the same time, we were dealing with bankruptcy and just a lot of struggle as a therapist, but also just as a woman and a human. And then lo and behold, when I was pregnant with my third baby, I got arrested for, I was doing an illegal U-turn. So I was fully illegal doing an illegal U-turn, and I got arrested, and I got arrested for seven felonies that I was unaware of. And I was put in the slammer, 6 months pregnant with my third baby, and just complete. I mean, you can't even imagine the kind of shock that I experienced in that moment. But long story short, I received unemployment when I was 20 years old because I lost a job, and it was right before I was going to graduate from graduate school and get into my private practice and all the things. And you cannot work while accepting unemployment. And I babysat. And somebody that I babysat for put me on their tax return. And I didn't realize I was doing something illegal, but I was doing something illegal. Also did not realize I would get slammed with seven felonies of larceny, robbery, theft, computer fraud, government tampering, like you name it. It was a wild experience. So $35,000 later and bailing myself out of jail, we ended up being able to kind of put that behind us. But all of this, every experience that I have had has fed into just my desire to understand that every single person has a story. Like you cannot look at somebody and not hold that belief system that everybody has a story, everybody has experiences, everybody has trigger points and hardships and struggles. And we live in a society now where I think everybody's a little bit stuck in themselves, if you will. And these experiences really shed light on how I wanted to change things.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know their jaws are like, wait, what? Because that was mine. But you know what? That's what makes you so special. And it's something, as you know, by being in my world, I say the story that you're hiding behind is a story that's going to make you your greatest successes and your deepest connections, the community yes. that you are fighting for day in and day out, you know, with the hours and hours you're putting into content, when all you really got to do is be so incredibly raw and honest. But with that, as you know, with your therapeutic background is so challenging. So it's easy yes. to say, but you know, the fact that you lead by such example, I think is so admirable. And it makes, and also you just hit seven figures. So yes. that's huge. Yes. What was yes. it in 3 or 4 years?
3.5 years. Yep.
She did that. And so huge success. You know what I mean? And I think anyone listening, if you're in a spot where it's feeling hard or it has been hard, or you can relate to whatever degree, if it's similar or different, but you feel that sense of connection, just know that things can change and you're living, you know, breathing proof of that. And that's what I love yeah. when you share this, and it's so important. So talk to me. I know everyone's yeah. probably itching to know this. Talk to me about, and we want to be super respectful and everything, but sure. talk to me about some of your experiences that you've had in the coaching space. Cause I know, one, even your story, people are going to be able to relate to some degree now too. you being burned and how that has driven your innate desire to almost have this 180, this full circle. I've seen it by working with you in the mastermind. You have come back to self, home, where, you know, you were in the space and crushing it while traveling Costa Rica, making over 400,000. You were crushing it, you know, but then you had this internal feeling of, wait, I need to pull back and say what feels good to me and what actually isn't aligned. So can you talk to me about a distinctive moment, or maybe it was moments over time where you were like, oh, I actually don't enjoy this experience and I want to cultivate something different.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had towards the end of last year, we were traveling nomadically. I was homeschooling my kids and we were traveling and building my business. And it was this incredible year financially and in the ways that I served my clients. And it was amazing in all the ways, but I was having this very strong, like, come to Jesus moment in myself of honestly not wanting to be a part of the industry and feeling like I don't fit here because I was doing things differently in how I serve. But also, no matter what, pretty much up until working with you, if I'm being really honest, every experience that I had had was so, some were actually negative. Some were more just kind of disappointing. It wasn't always necessarily being burned as much as just like, is this all we got? Are these the promises that we're providing? And then of course, I think it's just, again, the social media world of just pain point marketing and triggering others and constantly, like, it was just, it felt yucky. And so I had this moment of like, I love what I do. I love it. But do I want to be associated with it? Like, it felt yucky to be associated with it. And I started to consider, like, can I take the income that I've earned and do something else? Like, can I, you know, open up a brick and mortar and create a space of community where it's like safe and it's healing and it's good? Because this industry just felt yuck. Like, I wanted to dispose myself of it. And I think it was also just, I was constantly looking for somebody who had a similar ideology to support me. And it just didn't exist. You know, everybody that I'd worked with, it was just like the same thing where the promises were so big and the delivery was so small. This is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to make. These are the results. And I'm huge on like not promising results that I can't promise. And that is like status quo of the industry is I'm going to help you make 100K months. And then they drop you in a Voxer chat where they don't talk to you unless you're asking questions. You have to know the right questions. You have to know what you're asking. You have to, you know, and every answer that you get is somewhere along the lines of mindset shift or energetic leap or quantum leap or whatever the case may be. And I kept running into this wall of like, this can't, like, what is happening? And it became, and we've talked about this, like, I don't necessarily think that you have to have the degrees that I have or the certifications that I have. It's not what I'm saying. But you have to be willing to go after an understanding that's greater than you if you want to be creating an impact that's greater than you. And I think it got a little willy-nilly out there of just people kind of doing whatever to make money and not really having the expertise or skill that they were claiming to have. And there's a massive integrity breach there. And so I kind of felt this, I don't know if I fit into this anymore. No matter how different I do it, I don't know if I fit into it. And I think what happened was this just massive, like, or I can leave. I can just giddy up and get out of here and leave this industry because it feels gross to me, or I can be the change. I can initiate opportunities for people to do things differently, because I'm also always going to come from the lens of a lot of people don't know that they're creating the harm that they do. I don't think that people are out and they're malicious and they're calculated and they're manipulative. I think genuinely they want to be helpful. They just don't necessarily have all the skills that they need. And so I sort of took that as my responsibility.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. That was the social experiment for me where I was seeing all the success, doing all the things. And yes, it's an unregulated space. And yes, there's no strict rules as if you were in corporate, but there's definitely hidden agendas and rules and all that, you know, and imposter syndrome comes up if you try to daring and bold, you know. And so I couldn't relate to you further on that. And I know everyone listening as well, especially in my world here in this community and Tasha Talks, they feel that it's this, and that's why I've never hired a coach or a mentor. And that was my most controversial secret uncovered. I recorded that episode. And I remember you were shocked when I told you that I think it was our first call.
Uh-huh. I asked you, I was like, wait, hold on, let's talk about this.
Yeah. Cause I just didn't resonate. And I knew. And just that statement that you said, it was this, I share the same thing. And that's why we're here, you know, and I think that's why your experience has been what it has been, is because those shared values. And I just said that this can't be it. I'm so put off to the point where burnout, where creativity wasn't flowing. It's like, what's the point, right? Because then that mentality, it's like an MLM. It trickles down to the students as well, where it's, well, I need that instant gratification. And even though if your marketing isn't promoting that, they're still expecting that because it's now a belief. Yes. And that gets tricky. But I had that exact moment too, where I was like, I don't fit here. I don't enjoy this. This doesn't feel integrity led. But then we can be the light. We can be the difference. And of course, it's still tricky to ebb and flow, but I love that. And, you know, you guys, if you're not following Ash, you know, just yet, I'm going to put her Instagram in the show notes. You got it, because she has so many things dropping in the coming months, next year especially, that is going to hit home and raise the standard in such a deeper level, truly, and from that therapeutic lens. So leading into the therapeutic, can you kind of explain, for the people that have never been held or experienced a type of mentorship like yours, what is the difference, would you say, from, say, I'm in your world, say I'm a private client or in a mastermind, what does the therapy aspect illuminate and really bring and make me feel versus what even you have experienced and what you know others have experienced?
The simplest term is the depth, right? It's the, I mean, this conversation just happened inside of our mastermind chat, right? Is there's a gal in there who's struggling and struggling to feel seen, or wanting to be seen rather. And there's a lot of reasons why. And while there's the strategy that's brought to the table, which is so beneficial, like I'm all for it. I'm a strategic mind through and through. So I love this. What I also bring to the table is, but let's get to the actual root of why you feel that being seen is so unsafe. Let me talk to you about the neurobiology that's happening inside of your brain that's telling your brain, hey, this is not safe. And you think it's because of something that happened recently. But I'm going to show you how it's actually something that happened much further away. And now you're being triggered through it and your brain is simply protecting you. And so what I do is to, yes, of course, we're going to look at the strategy, but I have a very firm belief that there's no amount of strategy that's going to outlast emotional wellness, your ability to heal from within, to understand the reasoning behind the actions that you take or that you don't take. You know, when I look at entrepreneurship in general and I really gauge like what creates success and what doesn't, it is a steady, sustainable movement. And what we see a lot is people either moving too fast, you know, that urgency, that FOMO, that comparison, right? That's always from a deeper rooted being, honestly, or the opposite, paralysis, right? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I should create. Both of those are not things we can strategize. They're things we have to address. And I see the most ambitious, powerful, amazing women with huge levels of success stuck in ruts of, I have all the tools. I know exactly what I want to do, but I can't move, or the moves I'm making aren't working necessarily, right? And it comes back to, we have to look at, one, the power of neuroplasticity, meaning that your brain can shift. We can change the way that you're witnessing yourself and witnessing others, right? And so part of the work that I do is on the woman, right? Like helping her to maintain and gain the emotional wellness to serve herself so that what she does and how she creates is sustainable, meaning that it feels good, right? That the moves that she's taking feel good in her body, and that she's living in a life where every day has that happiness effect and not just a, I'll be happy when, but like, I'm happy now. And that's what happens when we create, you know, anxious achievers, is that you're believing that the happiness, the pursuit of happiness is over there with that goal that you hit. But we've all been in experience of how that goalpost just changes. Every time we hit it, it just moves. And so if you haven't figured out the inside, the internal part of things, and no, I'm not just talking mindset. I'm not just going to have you, you know, journal about it, but like the real nitty gritty of what you're experiencing. And this is most profound in collective spaces, if I'm being really honest. Obviously, the one-to-one is really powerful, but when we can collectively get into a space where we are driven as humans to connect with others and to have that validity and normalization of what other people are experiencing, when we get to sit in that and feel like, hey, I'm not the only person feeling this feeling, we find a healing that's like far surpassing anything that we could have done on our own. And so that's kind of the work that I do when it comes to the therapeutic side of things. And then the flip side is also just how we create, how we brand ourselves, how we serve to help people to approach it from that human first modality, which is like, hey, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got an experience. Everybody's got their own harm. And, you know, the experiences that I've had, if I'm going to be really honest, is, you know, paying somebody $30,000 for mentorship to only feel like a number, to feel like, you know, I remember I worked with somebody where I didn't hear from her for like 3 weeks. And I was in this like kind of testing it, maybe wrong, maybe not, I don't know. But I was like, I'm not going to go out of my way. I just want to see what happens if I don't do anything in this container. And it was a one-to-one container, by the way. It wasn't a group where I just was like, you know, being a fly on the wall. I didn't hear from her at all. So when I did end up reaching out, I examined it. I was like, can we talk about this? Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want to create that, like holding me accountable or checking in on me or caring about this space. And it just came back to, and I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this, but like, yeah, well, you get to lead yourself and boundaries, right? I've got boundaries for myself. And if you're not coming to me, then I remember feeling like, that sucks. Like one, I paid you, but two is like, just a couple weeks ago when I was talking to you, you said that you loved me. You said that you wanted my greatest success. You said all these things, but then if I'm not actively pursuing you, you just disappear. Internally, that felt like I'm actually nothing to you. And that shift in the dynamic changed how I felt in that relationship for the remaining 7 months that we were together, because I need to feel like I matter to you. I need to feel like when you said in your promise of mentorship that you were going to care for me, that you were going to have my back, that you were going to personalize my experience and customize my strategy, I never felt that. One, you never gathered information from me. So maybe I'll go off on a little tangent here, but like, you got to make sure that if you're telling someone you're going to customize their experience, they are gathering information to, in fact, customize their experience, that you are being exactly the person that you promised that you would be. And yes, I'm all for boundaries. Like, do not get me wrong. I live off boundaries, right? Just the other day, I was telling my husband, like, I don't even like when people approach me when I'm in like a me time thing, because like, I cannot, like, don't talk to me on the street. I'm in a me time. I'm in a zone, you know, boundaries are great. But there's a difference between cultivating boundaries for yourself and being a good fucking leader.
Yeah, I mic drop. Me, I'm like, drop. Thank you. Throwing it out the window. No, like that was when you were coming at the tail end, right? Of when you came into my space.
Yep. Okay. So 7 months after that, I kind of came into your space and I was really hesitant because I was like, you know what? Like I said, these weren't like massive, she did me wrong. Like it was just these really subtle, like I didn't feel held. I didn't feel cared for. I didn't feel, you know, and it's this weird, and I'm sure people have experienced this, but this like, I'm in your DMs trying to sell you. And I just love you, girl. You're so amazing. You're everything. You're this, you're that, you're a whole bag of chips and more. And then like, once you're in the container, I'm getting just breadcrumbs of what you have to offer, no personalization, no customization. And you're also, you know, every answer is like, put me in a box. You didn't consider me at all. There was times I had to actually say like, oh, but don't remember, I do have a program like that, or like things where it was like, wait, you're giving me suggestions for things I already have. Or like, it was just this miss throughout. And there was no clues for me that that was going to be the case. And I'll tell you, and you knew this, like one of the harder things that happened was there's no closure. There was no onboarding, no offboarding. It was just this very like, Voxer open, you're here. We've got a year in this space and I'm going to give you literally the bare fucking minimum. And then it ended and I got like a Voxer message of like, this was so great. I've loved you so much. Da, 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 all your growth, you know, and in my head, I'm like, that literally had nothing to do with you, but cool. And then a couple weeks later, I don't remember why, but I discovered that she had unfollowed me.
Wow. Wow. You know how many times my students, I get the tea. I live under a rock. I'm like Patrick the starfish. Okay. I always say that. My little Canadian rock, but I get the tea. Okay. From my clients and your experience. And I know if you're listening, okay. Or maybe a few of you have experienced this as well. It is so sad. I've talked to, especially in 2023, quite a few, actually one of my clients, recent ones, Erin Mae Henry. We deeply share the same value, just as you and I as well. You would have a hoot with her. And she actually recently did a huge pivot because she was so put off from the stories that her clients as well were telling her. And so it is not new information to me, but it's always shocking and it's always disheartening because, as you know, Like you have to fill, you have to pour a fat glass of wine or a fat, you know, glass of bone broth, whatever your vibe is. Okay. To fill out the onboarding form for the mastermind. And like, I really go in, and then that level of customization is so freaking important. And when I hear that people do not give revisions in their four-figure offers, my jaw is on the ground. I understand theory and going through a fast pace and curriculum and giving homework, and you don't, you know, you have to have certain levels within your offerings.
But for sure, for sure.
When you get higher up, if you are not knee deep in your student's business and honestly putting on the consultant hat, I'm sorry, but what the fuck are you doing? That's why I haven't hired, seriously, because I have heard the stories, and you know that feeling too, Ash, where your clients are just, and then on the flip side, where your clients come to you and they're so, because you've done your due diligence to explain the customer experience, and they're so excited. They just have this innate feeling, and then they are still wowed in the program. They have the onboarding, offboarding, the cozy experience, and it's, why would we invest if it's not that standard that we also provide and then some, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I think it's just so jarring and shocking that that occurs. But one of the biggest things too here is, so from that experience, what have you, what is the flip side that you do? What is the cozy experience? And how do you, because I know you speak a lot, especially in your upcoming mastermind that we're still trying to pick the name for. Nameless as of yet, but she's juicy. But what, because I know you speak tons, and I know this is a shared value as well, of really raising that standard. So from these, which I think these experiences made you 10 times more credible,
for
because
sure.
it has put a exact light and focus on what the hell needs to change and what you now can do to do that. So what are you doing? What are the actions that you're going to cultivate to raise that standard?
Yeah. You know what the truth is too, going back to the story a little bit here, is like, this has sort of been my experience through and through. When I went into therapy, the thing that moved me away from traditional private practice was there's a lot of ethical guidelines. And I think any other therapist listening to this can like, yes, 100%, a lot of rules. And I remember I had a client who had just had a miscarriage, and I mentioned I've had three miscarriages, and it was around the same time that I had had one. And there's some pretty strict rules around what you can and cannot share, i.e. vulnerability is like not okay. And there's reasons behind this for sure. But I remember sitting there going, I know that I will provide so much more value and healing for this client if I can share that Me Too effect, not to go into my story, but to say, I truly understand what you're feeling. Because loneliness is where shame, this is why my podcast is called Shamelessly Ambitious, right? That's where shame is born, and it's fueled, and it grows, right? And so very early on as a therapist, I was like, not feeling like this isn't the best way to serve. There's a different way. I can't constantly have these like brick walls between these people that I'm having a really intimate relation with, right? And then I actually moved into network marketing for about 7 or 8 years because I didn't want to be in that setting and wanted to find a different way. So that was my first experience into the online business space. And there, as I'm sure you can imagine, same thing. It was just like, what are we doing? Everybody's trying to make this like, you know, put everybody into a box. Everybody goes through this exact process. If you're becoming a customer or you're becoming a, there was no personalization, customization. And it was this yucky, like, you know, we all know it, like the traditional network marketing that is just like, bleh, just not good. So I ended up being a speaker for the companies that I worked with to speak about a different way to do it and infusing this like human first approach all the way back in network marketing. So when I came into the online space as a coach, I brought all of that with me. And then of course, same thing, I went into my own experiences. I will always practice what I preach. I will always be out there like experiencing things as well. And through all of those, had that same sort of like, well, I think there's a better way to do this. And so 100%, I will never say like, oh, I've gotten it down pat since day one. I'm just the queen of all things. Like I'm the best. Not at all. I've had to only through my experience go, that sucked. Didn't love that. Or what would have felt really good there was this little extra. And so throughout that time, I feel like I've really figured out both through my psychology background, but also through my experience of what's required for a human to feel held, right? To utilize human behavior as a guidepost for how you develop programs from the entry point, i.e. literally the content that you're creating and how you're driving people to you, to the actual entry point of the program, i.e. the onboarding process, the kickoff call, the things that you do. Like I have very set practices on the calls that I have to make sure that there is an actual connection between the women on the call, because I don't just want them to be bodies on a call. I want them to feel driven by one another, held by one another. So the way that I infuse that into my calls, to the experience throughout, to the closing process, I, with my private clients, they all have a, it's kind of a surprise. Now it's not if they listen to this, but they get a closing call. That's like, I again, took this from my private practice days of like, we have to close this space. And I don't want it to be a space where you're telling me how amazing I am, which is typically how people close things. Here's a testimony. Tell me how great I've been. Tell me all the results I've given you. So my closing call flips that on its head. And it's a, let me spend the next 15 minutes telling you how I witness you and how I see you and how much you've served me since coming into this container. Because I want people walking away going, fucking A, like I am so much better, better off, better feeling, better held. And at the end of the day, it's also friendship. Like I am cultivating friendship with the people that I work with. And friendship is a different level. And I think the problem is everyone keeps it client coach. And sure, again, boundaries all day, but like you can't build a relationship with somebody that you're thinking is less than you.
No. And you know what the gag is actually I offer a bonus call at the end to surprise when it has
it's surprise.
Yeah, surprise on the call. You're going to get one. But you also know me too. I'm like so quick to give it a call here just to have a touch point in that connection.
Yeah.
That is what you're just saying. I can't, my eyeballs switching. I can't personally, it's my opinion. Okay. I can't stand the whole, here are my strong policies and boundaries and they will not be broken. Mm-hmm. My fucking God, you are literally dealing with human beings. If a call, it doesn't get recorded for some reason, or I noticed you were having a rough week, I am giving you a power session. I'm giving you 60 minutes or 45 minutes of my time. Yeah. You're hashing it out because as much like I don't give a shit. And then I will let you cry. I will cry with you. I will meet you where you're at. And I always say this too. This was very firm when I was working with Kaylee with my copy. Please, for the love of God, make sure you communicate that I am not on some janky ass pedestal, because that's, no, it is a partnership. We have to see eye to eye. I don't want that responsibility. You can be inspired, but I also want you to know I'm inspired by you. And that creates such a profound experience and true connection. And it's something that you and I share so much, where I still talk to my clients from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
We'll even FaceTime sometimes. I'm like, girl, let's hash it out. Let's do a quick little coffee. You know, let's have a wine night. And I think, and you know, this is a big, you'll hear this on and off, and I'm sure you've heard it too, where it's like, you can't be friends with your clients. And I know that's the therapeutic thing probably too. It's like, whoa, and that's been a shift you've had to adapt, but like your innate desire, I know you crave that when it's the synergies there, but the more the way, and especially, and I know you know this now too, by being in my world, but the more I know you, the more your marketing and the work that we do will be amplified, from the funnels we'll build out to the stories I'm going to push you to do, to the vulnerability, to the homework, the accountability. It just will allow me to see you for who you are and then allow your clients to see you for who you are. And I think that's a huge gap, is everyone in the space is so, again, those rules, this shitty ass book that I'm pointing out, who did it? Who's writing this burn book, bitch? Because I need to burn the burn book. Okay, I got to, it's got to go. And yeah, I love everything you're saying. And I know so many people just like listening to this are probably getting a breath of fresh air. Like, wow, that's actually a thing. It is a thing. I promise you, just you got to find the right peeps. Now, there's one thing that I really want to touch on with you, and it's emotional wellness. So can you explain what that is and what that is to you within your world and how it kind of relates to what you have going on in the next, you know, few months and next year?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I did kind of touch on this. So I'll repeat, really, emotional wellness is an opportunity to approach everything from this level of self-compassion, but also societal compassion, right? So it's almost like, to me, it's literally flipping a switch on how we experience life, but also how we approach life and how we approach, you know, the programs that we're creating. Like I said, the onboarding, the offboarding, the client experience that we create, like the mini mind that I have coming in 2024 is really all around building a human first business through understanding human behavior, which to me is the ability to create your own form of emotional wellness in everything that you do, right? From the vulnerability, we talked about this all day, right? Like you have to go first. You have to go first. If you're asking for people to come to you and share and grow and change, be willing to go first. Because at the end of the day, vulnerability drives connection and connection drives conversion, period, point blank. This is what's missing in the industry, right? And the truth of the matter is vulnerability isn't always easy. It requires a state of emotional wellness. To me, emotional wellness is it's taking your mental health seriously. It's including it in your strategy. It's making it, you know, both the what am I going to do to the who am I going to be and how am I going to create space to have these kind of conversations, right? So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's emotional wellness to me.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. And I think because it's a combination that, you know, we hear the mindset, but like we've been saying is you just take it a step deeper.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't even express that enough. The moments where I've shared openly, and a piece of feedback I get often, even from my lawyer, she's so funny. All the time we get on call, she's like, how the hell is your engagement so good, Tash? She's like, I notice it. And I've had that. And it's just because I'll be so honest down to like my potential child-free journey that I feel very stuck in and confused in at moments. And I go through ebbs and flows. The recent situation with my father, my breakup, you know, I have always been so incredibly honest to a point where it does feel really comfortable. And then I'll get deeper and deeper when I do let it marinate within myself and my reality. And, you know, I'll have people sending me video messages on Instagram, voice messages, crying and novels of their experiences. And I have formed some of the deepest connections with women all around the world that I have no idea really. I had no idea who they were. They were complete strangers. Yeah. But now all of a sudden, it's that deep bond. And I will say this, vulnerability and true openness and leading by example, you have to do it with a integrity-filled intention. You can't do it always with the motive to sell. That's another big one too, because when I'll do it, it's also me extending an olive branch. Like, I deeply want to hear your opinion. And that's a big piece that I say in my work is you need to make people have that self-actualization, that shareholder effect. They have a piece of your success and your story in it with you, the two-way collaboration. And
it's vulnerability in general. You always have to ask, and I tell my clients this, you have to ask first, like how, not everything is meant to be shared is what I'll say. Vulnerability, when you're sharing it, has to be of value to the people you're sharing it with. So I'll always ask myself, okay, this is the thing I'm going through. I feel this nudge, this urge to share about it, but I'll ask like, how is this valuable to my people? You know, and it's not through the lens of, I think at the end of the day, I want to come back to like conscious leadership, right? Where like you remember the root of what you do is because you want to make an impact. And that by connecting with people, you'll automatically fill your programs. You'll automatically have the best private clients. You'll automatically, you know, have more success, have the best people to work with. I just believe that, you know, but you have to start with that conscious leadership, which is in turn like that emotional wellness, the ability to, you know, share and be vulnerable, but do it with intention, right? Intention and integrity with everything, being ethical with how you create stuff, really asking yourself, like, do I actually have the capacity to hold another client? Do I actually have the deliverables or the expertise to talk on this topic? I think there's a difference between saying like, I'm good at everything. I can do anything. I'll share all the things and just having nothing, no boundaries on anything and saying, I'm going to share what I know will serve. I'm going to be vulnerable when it will create value. And I'm going to create a business that is conscious in how it does better in this world, right? How it does good in this world.
Yeah. And I think it leads to the point too, I know you shared this as well, is the whole problem aware wave. I have my knack with that. And I understand the psychology of the loss aversion. I understand the gain effect. I get it. But I view it just like scarcity tactics in the bro marketing world. You have to do it with integrity. You have to do it tastefully. Yes. And you have to do it minimally. You can't always, I would say, waterboard your people with these strategies. Because they're going to be like, girl, let me breathe. Uh-huh. But you know, this is the same thing with always, I've seen it and I've actually unfollowed quite a few people or muted them when they use these very, very heart-wrenching stories to immediately sell. And I can tell that it's either from a triggered state or not a value. And the same thing goes with problem aware and all these strategies that, again, I think the big message here is I implore you to always do that gut check of like, what is my intention behind this or posting it. And I think if you always lead with I am here to serve and I am here to be that leader, that leading to the flip side of problem aware and the agitation content that is going rampant in the space right now.
Yeah.
You know, the feel good factor, lean into that in sales psychology, dopamine. Yep. And you're going to witness, this is something that needs to be studied, by the way. I have had so many clients that this year that specifically were problem aware. And I've also just witnessed tons and tons of people. The difference in community members and experience.
Yes.
When you
who you're serving.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, jarring. On the problem aware side, you have chargebacks, liability. You have spicy, bold clients who are hazing you publicly, coming for your team's jugular, your jugular. And then you have the people who have been in business for quite some time or just the same amount of time, and they focus more on connection and expressive buyers and dopamine and really lighting their people up in what I like to call inspirational aware content.
And not promising what they can't deliver.
Yes, your client retention, your what we all like to say legacy, right? The true legacy work. You are creating a ripple effect of such a loving, nourishing environment. And I have seen it.
Yep.
I've always seen it, but I've really, 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 really seen it this year. And so just know, if you really want that loving community, I would dip your toes into the feel good, the inspirational.
100%. I mean, 75% of my revenue last year of over 400K, 75% of it was returning clients. And there's something to be said about that, right? And I've never had any of the difficulties that I've heard a lot of people have. And I think it does come back to, like, again, if you face everything with the pain, and here's the thing, I think I want to share this because I think it's necessary, because I think a lot of people think, how do I share this? Then how do I make sure that people are aware of the problem? In my humble opinion, you do so through your own story. The way that you demonstrate the pain or the problem is through your own experience and how you've been there, or you create validity and normalization and connection through sharing the story, as opposed to pointing your finger at somebody and going, you, right? You feel tired, you feel exhausted, you're not hitting the numbers you want to hit, your business isn't doing, you know, what happens then is somebody witnesses that, they visualize that, and they're not hearing anything else you say because they're going down a rabbit hole of massive trigger, trauma, major internal experiences of like, fuck, like I am failing. There's something wrong with me. I've done things wrong. You know what I mean? Like they're not hearing you. At some point, they might hear it so much that they think you're going to solve a problem that you're probably not going to be able to solve because they're in such a triggered, and I will say unemotionally well state. They don't have the capacity to even take what you're here to deliver and turn it into what they're meant to turn it into, right? So you curate and call in the higher caliber of people, the people that you want to serve that are coachable and willing and just so excited to be in your space when you're able to paint a picture of what's possible and show them, hey, but I've also been in some hard times. I've also experienced these things. I understand. And I'm going to hold space for you in this container to not only grow and change and alter, but to be held and seen and witnessed in whatever it is that you're experiencing.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things from what you're saying, and a byproduct of this for both parties, service pro and student or the person purchasing, is radical accountability. And it's, I've seen it where you can leave the ego at the door and you can take the accountability where you need to while also really hear out the person, right? And that's that emotional wellness and that taking that moment to not be reactive. There's so much power in that, right? And I think in this space, especially with service pros and coaches, when they get constructive feedback, they see it as an attack. And then that's where that radical accountability doesn't occur. And there's so much opportunity in a moment where someone's bringing you constructive feedback, or maybe they're not seeing the results that they set an expectation, right? And if you just take a moment to chat it out and hear them, empathize, validate, while also creating a concrete plan to shift out of it, you are then going to have those returning clients. You are then going to create such a beautiful experience that also now they are going to take that experience and to some degree, I don't want to say replicate, but it's going to be a snowball with their clients. So you are naturally spreading light in the space. And I think, I know that is so special. And I know that's exactly what you're doing. And so everyone listening, I'm sure they're so eager to hear, like, what do you have? What can they, where can we follow you? Where can we just totally immerse ourselves within your world? Do you have any? I know you got a cutie little freebie that we're going to put in the show notes.
Yeah.
But just tell us all the things of what we can expect in the coming months.
Yeah. So I would say also is my podcast, Shamelessly Ambitious, where I have some real raw conversations. They're super spicy all the time, but just about these same things. Every single week, we're dropping episodes on this. So I would definitely start there. But I also have my favorite audio course, which is a freebie, that is my best therapeutic practices and business strategies to ensure that your next move is the best move for you. So diving into that inner confidence, the inner integrity, the emotional regulation tools that we all need to have our hands on so that you can create that sustainable success. And this is literally through the lens of how are you taking action? And is that action from a place of integrity within yourself? And so it's a 4-part audio course that literally gives you all my secrets inside of it. So I love that. That's called Move. Yes, you can have your hands on that. And then, yeah, a couple things that are coming down the pipe is my mastermind. So my mastermind has been through a little renewal, very, very much thanks to Tash and helping me and supporting me and putting this all together. But I'm super excited about this space. This is literally the mastermind for the conscious leadership practices, for courageous communication, and a place for women who are here to fulfill their promises, right? They really want to do so in a way that feels good for them, feels good for their clients. So we are going to talk about all things strategy. We're going to talk about things like really healing the wounds of success, but we're going to do so in a hybrid model that I think is so necessary, where you're getting that one-to-one individualized strategic attention from me on your business, where I am looking at things like how you're humanizing your brand, optimizing your sales, really building a business ecosystem that's safe for you and everybody else coming into your world. But we're also going to have the community space where we are diving into the more robust therapeutic conversations. And like I said, healing those success wounds that can feel really heavy if we're not aware of them. And most of the time we are, but we're not quite sure what to do with them. And so it's therapy meets strategy meets community and sisterhood for women who want to be those disruptors. And I kind of mentioned earlier, I also have my mini mind that's coming in 2024. And this is for the person who wants to build a human first brand. So this is a little bit more on the strategy side, where we dive into everything from your brand awareness. So making sure that in that noisy world that you stand out with your vulnerability, your humanness, and that consumability through relatability. So not only am I going to show you how to do this, but I'm going to actively support you in the work that you need to do internally to make that feel safe for you, because that's important too. It's like one thing to say, go be vulnerable. It's a whole other thing to explore, like, but what does vulnerability feel like to you? And do you feel okay doing that? And how can we create kind of that storytelling piece to it so that you can breed human connection, which, as I've mentioned 100 times before, is what breeds conversion in your business. And then we also dive into the client experience. So we have to do that front facing of building a human first business, but we have to do the back side as well. So everything that we talked about, from the onboarding and offboarding and creating that genuine connection with your clients, mastering that consumer experience, but also things like conflict resolution. What happens when a client comes to you and has an issue or wants out of their contract? Like, how do we address this in a way where always the standard bottom line is doing no harm, leaving people better than we found them over and over and over again? So those are kind of my two big kahunas that are coming that I've been putting together now for, I would say, 12 years, to be honest with you. It's been a culmination of all of my work over the past many, many, many moons. And it means the world to me to have spaces like this that I think the industry is craving, not only from the, like, how do I do this better side, but like, somebody please hold me side.
I mean, come on, how good does that sound, guys? How good. And I can tell you I'm biased because my hands have been in there. We are building it out. And it's so interesting because we've been chipping away at it for months now, where we brain dumped, we like got into it from even just the onboarding mastermind form. And then now it's morphed and shifted as we peeled back. And especially when you hired, you know, a copywriter, Kaylee, and it's formed into this beautiful, two beautiful experiences that you're going to bring. Yeah. And they are so needed. And I know this is so in demand now, and it's only going to progress and progress, right? So if y'all want to get into Ashley's world, I would definitely download the freebie that's in the show notes. And then where can we, so you have your podcast, but what's your Instagram handle? Obviously, we're going to put it, but just do that.
Yep. Ash McDonald, super easy. Ash McDonald. You can find me over there. I am there, always getting vulnerable. I'd say the most vulnerable place you can probably find me is email, though, if I'm being honest. This is where I'm like real heavy hitters. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I actually went and like dug up pictures of my biological father to actually put in screenshots of this man that I wanted to tell a story about, of some real big heartache that I've been experiencing. So this is kind of my like, it's my journal. My email is my journal. It's where I'm going to give you all the things once a week. We're also going to talk about sustainability, building a human first brand, but I'm going to start by going first and being really vulnerable with my experiences and, you know, jail time, all the things.
Literally. Yeah. It's so funny. I love that though. Email us too. That's like my philosophy, is the storytelling, the vulnerability, and just really get deep there. And I don't know about you, but when I do get my email replies weekly, it skips, my heart skips a beat. It's so much better than Instagram. I'm like, oh, yes, thank you.
Yep. It just feels like it takes more intention when you respond to an email and then you actually write something out 100%. And I think that's that piece of vulnerability too, is like, you want to have these tiers of communication within what it is that you do. And for me, it's like every level that you go deeper, from my Instagram to my podcast, to my email, to my membership, like, I'm going to give you a little bit more of me, because that's the point, right? It's like, you're saying like, hey, I'm in and I'm serious about this business. I'm serious about the business of vulnerability, and saying like, hey, I'm willing to put myself out there and be really honest and vulnerable. And also like say the truth, like I'm still struggling. I still have a lot of struggles. I'm a therapist. I have three kids. I mean, I got a 9-year-old child. I don't even know how. I feel like I'm just ancient over here, and I'm really not. But, you know, I've gone through a lot, and I'm going to share it because I think we all are going through a lot. You know, I just recently shared in my membership about a friendship breakup, which are the worst. These friendship breakups are the worst, that had a lot to do with me being this overachieving, you know, entrepreneur, and that being a trigger for people. So in my world, we go deep and we're not afraid to have conversations that I think everybody is wishing that we would have louder.
I love. And so if you guys want to feel something, follow Ashley. Because you will, you might shed a tear, but that's good. Tears are good. But no, we could talk all day about this, but thank you so much, Ashley. I know everyone is going to be in your DMs and loving on you, sharing how much they love this and downloading your freebie as well. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is such a good conversation that I hope just spurs even more conversations about it, so we can change this, you know, change the way we're experiencing the world of business coaching and online coaching and service providership and all this.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to hop off. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Tash Talks podcast. My name is Natasha Zorick, and I encourage you to be an audacious leader in both your life and business. If you love tuning in, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow along at www.natashazorick.com/podcast and over on Instagram at natasha.zorick. See you soon.